Yesterday we saw at the end of yesterday's year that the Ravid is unhappy. Rambam counts the mitzvah shechita aside from the lava and the veil. Rambam counts the mitzvah say of shechita, and his very first opportunity, the minhag mitzvah katzer, at the end of the hakdamas to Mishnah Torah, the Ravid already attacks the Rambam. All right, what are you counting the mitzvah shechita for? He says, oh, maybe Rambam thinks it's a lava ba miklal asay. It's an Isra Asay. The Gemara does say Lava Mikal Asay. The Alpidin, Isra Asay is the status of an Asay. Now that's primarily in terms of that's not a Lav, you don't get Malkus. But the Rabbi said, okay, maybe the Rambam thought that's a cause to count it as a Mitzvah Asay, among the 240 Mitzvah Asay. The impression you get, he doesn't say it, but the impression you get from the Rabbi is that he's not really so happy about that. Ula, not so happy. Okay, maybe that's the Rambam thought. And then in three other three mitzvahs later, again, the mitzvah of bedikas simanei kashrus for behema and chaya and for oaf and for dagim and for chagavim. Once again, the rabbi said, what's all these livdoks? Mitzvah to check, you get a key mitzvah. Says, nah, the mistam the Rambam. So I guess the Rambam means lava mikal asay is an asay, and therefore he's going to count this lava mikal asay in the minyan of the 248 asay. And once again, you get the impression the rabbi himself is not really so fond of that idea, but you know, begrudgingly, okay, maybe that's what the Rambam thought. And indeed, Rav is not the only one who read it that way. The Prima Gadim, as we spoke about yesterday, Prima Gadim is Hakadamah, near the very beginning, is Hakadamah Til Cheshchita, Shorash Beis. The second issue he raises is, what's with Vizavachta? Is it an Isra Asay? He says, well, it's a big Machlitz Rishonim. He lists off what we saw plus. He says, look, Tysus in several places, there is an Asay of Inazavuach. It could, I don't remember, it could be close to Rajma and Chul and Daftas. There's the Isra Sevin and Zavuach. And he says, on the other hand, you have the second day of the Ritzva in Taisus and Shavuos, and you have Rashi, who does not seem to be working with Eino Zavuach, and you have the Rambam! I'm sorry. And he says, you have those Rishon who say that there's no such thing as Eino Zavuach. And he says, but the Rambam agrees with the first day in Tosus. And the Isra Sevin and Zavuach. The Rabbi, okay, if the fact is the Rabbi agree with the Rabbi, or the Rabbi disagree with the Rabbi. But as we began to see yesterday, so Reb Lippa Mirror, this is Zalman's Rebbe, the author of the Mabusha Yomtev. Mabusha, that might be easier for some of us to pronounce than Reb Lippa Mirror, Yomtev Lippman. So the Mabusha Yomtev says, he says, one second. I don't think that's what the Rambam says. He's actually intrigued by the following question. So let's say I had Nevela, let's say it's Yom Kippur, or not Yom Kippur, any day of the year. The Gemara, discussing Yom Kippur, Yumad Af Pei Gimel, says that Pekuch Nefesh is Docha Kol Torah Kula, cannot, almost all Hilchos Kashrus are pushed aside by Pekuch Nefesh. If you have the choice between kosher food and non-kosher food, then you should eat the kosher food. It's not hutra, it's dechuya. Chazer is still aser, but chazer is a lower level of value. Avoiding chazer is a lower level of value than preserving human life. So if they're in conflict, if they're not in conflict, if there's kosher food to eat, of course you have to eat the kosher food. But if there's no kosher food to eat, and the doctors think that this fellow will be or may be in danger if he doesn't eat, and it doesn't have some protein, the only protein available is treif, so then he has to eat the protein. Huh? Obviously, pekuch nefesh is docheh chazir. How about if all I have is non-kosher food, by different types of non-kosher foods, different options? Huh? So I have tevel, I have fruits and vegetables, I have some wine from the Eretz Yisrael, I never had trumas and maasos taken off, and I have nevela. Perduchik. So what do I eat? Boar's head. Flesh. Treif of flesh. What do we have? So we probably would have said, that was the wine, didn't have trumas and maasos taken off. Treif of flesh, that's mamash, as we would say, chazer treif. But the Gemara actually says, if you have a choice between tevel and nevela, Better to eat the nevela. Eat the non-kosher meat. Don't eat the wine, the bread, whatever it is, which grew in Eretz Yisrael, did not have trumas and maasos taken off. Really? So to our chutzlaret sensibilities, we think that the biggest kashrus issue is meat. Fruits and vegetables, we chutznikim think fruits and vegetables are automatically kosher. But the truth is, in Eretz Yisrael, fruits and vegetables are not automatically kosher. And not only that, but if a Jew eats nevel, he gets malchus, which is bad. But if a Jew eats tevel, produce of Eretz Yisrael that didn't have trumas and maasos taken off, you chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Wow. So the Gemara says that the way that you determine the chomer ha'isser, the way that you determine how severe the isser is by looking at the chomer ha'onash. If the onash is more severe, that's an indication that the isser is more severe. So if tevel, the onash for tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, the onash for nevela is just malchus, so tevel is a worse isser. So if the only option you had was to eat the tevel, or else the person is in danger, of course he would eat the tevel. But if he has a choice between tevel and nevela, better to eat the nevela. But then Mabusha Yontif has a whole section of a sefer called Kal V'Chomer. It's a play on words. Where he mamish digs into the sugya, Yumin Pei Gimel, all sorts of other permutations and combinations. How about this versus that? How about this versus that? This versus that? And what he's really doing is he's using that sugya as a tool to analyze all sorts of yisurim. It's like an interesting type of nafkamina. Well, how would it stack up against something else if you have a pikuach nefesh binary choice? Either eat this or that. So in 7 days of Kal V'Chomer section, what's more Kal, what's more Chomer, of the Sefer Mabusha Yom Tov. So he wants to know, let's say I had Nevela versus some other Trefa food. Not Tevel, which is Mizbe Yishan. Nevela versus Peir Shvias. Maybe Nevela versus Bas
Mechalav. Tevel is nothing taken off?
Sorry? Nothing, right. Or, no. Well, again, yes, they weren't taken off. So if some were taken off, still going to be Tevel. You don't get malchus for shogeg. You don't get mizbe shamayim for shogeg. So how about nevela versus something? Nevela is a lav. You get malchus. There are many kashrus issues for which you get malchus. How does it stack up? So he says, here's a nafkamina in the machlokas and tosis. You want to practice this whole Reb Shimon, very complicated. Here's a simple practical nafkamina in the machlokas and tosus. If there's no iser asei v'ino zavuach, it's just a lav of a nevela, which is what the ritzva and the ri say, so then it's the same as any other iser lav, like not eating peir shvias, inappropriately. He says, but if you hold like the first day in tosus, eino zavuach, to eat nevela is a double issue. You're violating the lav, plus you're violating the iser asei of Eino Zavuach. So all of a sudden, he says, according to the first day in Tosfos, Nevela is worse than all the other types of Tarfos, which is Malkus, because Nevela, you're violating both the Lav and an Aser. Okay. Oh, okay. So that's interesting. He says, how about the Rambam? He says, well, Prima Gadim says, yeah, the Rambam is on board with the first day in Tosfos. I says, that's great. We saw yesterday, it's so clear. 5 times he tells us it's a mitzvah, a shechita. It's hard to miss. Mabusha Yontif says, wrong. The Rambam would not say that Nevela is worse than any other Isra Lav. Really? But it's Isra Lav and Isra Say. He says, it is not true. How could it be not true? Tells me 5 times it's a mitzvah of shechita. An Asay of shechita. So he says like this. He says, he doesn't present it exactly this way, but let's take a look at the, I think the best way to get into the idea that he's putting forward, that he puts forward, that his Shneir Kotler and his Shir Menchulin sort of expands on this, could be Shneir does quote this. I think the best way to get into it is to look at the one Rambam in Mar Makamos that seemed utterly unrelated. Nothing to do with Shechita. I ask you to please take a look at Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Beis. It's a very nice Rambam. It's important to learn Hilchos Mezuzah. What does that have to do with Shechita? What does that do with the mezuzah either? What does it do with anything? What's Perek Yudalef about? If you opened up an actual Rambam, the Sefer Ava, you saw that there are 11 Prakim Hilchos Brachos. He starts with the Bracha Deraisa, Birkas HaMazon, then he talks about other Birkas HaNehneh, talks about other types of things. Eventually, the last Perek, he gets around to Birkas HaMitzvos. That's the topic of Perek Yudalef. Perek Yudalef, Halacha Aleph, he introduces the notion of Birkas HaMitzvos. And then, in Perek Beis, which you have in front of you, he says, well, there's an interesting question, which the truth is many Rishonim discuss. The Rambam is much briefer about it than most other Rishonim talk about it, which is, it's not really true that we always make brachos on mitzvahs. We don't. There are a lot of mitzvahs you don't make brachos on. So, we do make a bracha on the field, say, diamond, on sukkah, on luv, and shofar, and tzitzis, and film, yes. We do not make a bracha on tzedakah. We do not make a bracha on kibud avim. We do not make a bracha on emunah. And on the list goes on. Right? The Shiloh, whether you make a bracha when you burn an asherah. But Shmuel in the Gemara makes it sound very simply that the kol mitzvahs kula, the baruch alein, over the last thousand, the kol mitzvahs. Not all mitzvahs. So many Rishonim work on that. The Ravid famously wrote away to Yosef in Palat, please explain to me what's the rule. The different Rishonim, the Rashba quotes about this, Abu Dram quotes, there's a lot of interquoting. So the Rambam says, and here in Perik Yud Aleph Halacha Beis of Hilchos Brachos, he says, well, the last line of the halacha, he tells you what the rule is. That's the mitzvah asay shebeinam lamakom. If it's an isser, you don't make brachas on avoiding isser, and you don't make brachas on mitzvah shebeinam lachaveiro. That's the mitzvah asay, has to be bein adam lamakom. But what does he say before that? Before that, he develops an additional set of categories used in thinking about mitzvahs. Yesh mitzvahs aseh, sha'adam chayav lehishtadev lerdof ad sheyaseh osav. He goes, tefillin, v'sukkah, v'lulav, v'shofar. There are mitzvahs that a Jew is required to be mishtadel. I have to work on it. Just do hishtadlos. Not hishtadlos to support myself, that's also a mitzvah. Even hishtadlos to get the mitzvah done. I don't have a shofar. Go get a shofar. I don't have a lulav. Well, go figure out how you're going to get a lulav. You got to make it happen. Lerdof. You have to pursue the mitzvah. And I'm obligated. Chayav. I am obligated. I can't do it. I don't have an esrei. So do something about it. It's not optional. You're a Jew. Sukkot is coming. You are, as a Jew, as a Jewish man, you are obligated to do Matthias Lulav on the 15th of Tishrei. So no excuses. Make sure that you have the equipment that you need beforehand. The Elohim Nikron Chova. Those types of mitzvahs are called Chova. Why? The Vishadim Chayav Al Kopanim ourselves. Because you are chayv al kol panim in all circumstances, you are absolutely required. As opposed to mitzvah she'ena chova elo domin l'rishus. The language is very delicate. He says it's not if it's domatur; it's similar to optional. What do you mean similar to optional? Half optional? What does that mean? So you're like, you don't have to, but you're getting guilted into it. What does it mean? No, obviously that's not what he means. Let's take a look. The language is very, very delicate. It's domen l'rishus, kigo mezuzah u'makah, to put a mezuzah on the doors of a house, to build a makah, a fence, or don't be technical, a parapet, a fence around the roof of my house, or maybe if I have a deck also, maybe it'd be chayav in makah. She'ein adam chayav, how are those domen l'rishus? I mean, I could shoot, you don't have to put mezuzah if you want to, not in the mood. I was going to put a mezuzah, I'm moving to a new house. I was going to put a mezuzah, and you know, the mover ended up charging way more than I expected, hundreds of dollars more. I won't buy a mezuzah. Maybe next year I'll get a mezuzah. Really? No, that's absolutely wrong. You're a mechui to put a mezuzah. So it means rishus, or more precisely, domen rishus. What did Rambam say? In what way is mezuzah rishus like?
You can always just live in a boat,
you don't have to buy a house.
Oh. Because I can choose whether or not to be mechayev myself. I can it's a contingent mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that only applies under certain circumstances, in certain conditions, and I'm not obligated to step into those conditions. I'm not afraid there's nothing wrong with living in a tent. I'm not afraid to buy a sort of house that could be chayev mezuzah. If I want to live my entire life in a tent, I want to live my entire life on a boat, that's fine. Now, as an aside, just to pause for a second, we're not learning Hilchos Mezuzah, but it happens to be this Rambam Shalom B'Makomo is very important for Hilchos Mezuzah. Reb Chaim Stipler in Menachos, when he has a piece about Mezuzah, quotes that Beni Chaim, my son Chaim, who we know as Reb Chaim Kanievsky, pointed this Rambam out to his father, that when the Rambam Hilchos Mezuzah says that you're not chayiv to put Mezuzah on a boat, a Baisha B'Svina, it doesn't just mean because the passengers come and go. Even if you're, because the Rambam is clear here, even if you can live your entire life on a boat, boats are fundamentally patur from Mezuzah, as are tents, because a mobile home is not considered to be diras kava. If it's built to move, so that's not the type of dira, that's how, even though I enjoy living there very much, that's great, but if it's a mobile home, an RV would be the same thing.
Yeah, RV
would be the same thing. If a Jew owns an RV, there's no chiyuv whatsoever to put on a mezuzah. If you put up on cinder blocks, the post rank, you dry dock a boat, then that's already considered kavua. So if you take the wheels off and put it on cinder blocks, and now you're in the trailer park for good, again, that's a lifestyle choice that one should consider carefully before making. But from the Hilchos Mezuzah standpoint, at that point, that's already considered kava. But and at the end of this Rambam, it should be noted, is rooted in Yerushalmi, very fascinating Yerushalmi, the end of Megillah. I think this is Perek Dal Halachi Beis, I think. And the Rishalmi talks about which is a higher level of mitzvah, tefillin or mezuzah. The Bavli says clearly tefillin. The tefillin is a higher level of kedusha than mezuzah. As more parshias, ma'am lakosh lo moridin, tefillin, sefer Torah is the highest, then tefillin, mezuzah, and bavli. That's what the Bavli says. Rishalmi has a shaila, machlokas ha'amaro about it. And the argument is, well, on the one hand, mezuzah is a higher level because mezuzah applies at all times. Tefillin is time-bound. There's no tefillin on Shabbos Pascha, there's no tefillin Shabbos Yantif, at nighttime, maybe Chomoid, right? Mezuzah applies 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Day, night, every hour, 24-7, 365. So that's the argument. So that's why one Amora says, mezuzah is a higher level, because it applies always. The other Amora says, tefillin is a higher level, because tefillin, there's no way out. But mezuzah, is that what the Rambam is quoting? But mezuzah, I could choose, I could opt in, or I could opt out. So this concept that the Rambam is quoting is already rooted in Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi, interestingly, is pointing it forward as an argument for sort of thinking about mitzvahs. But the Rambam says, but it's not, so there are these two categories. And then he goes on to say, now we come back to the last line, if it's a mitzvah, say, either way, you make a bracha. So it's relevant that it's a mitzvah post and iser is relevant to Birkas HaMitzvah, that it's Ben Adam HaMakom post Ben HaChavero is relevant to Birkas HaMitzvah, but whether it's chova or, what was the language used in the last line, chova or, is it Rishus? No, it's an Eina Chova. It's Chova or not Chova. Either way, you are Chayiv in a Bracha. Again, now we appreciate, again, going back to the line earlier, Domen in the Rishus. Not Mamasha. Rishus, not optional. I can't just decide I'm not going to put a mezuzah, but I can get off the train earlier. I can choose to not live in such a house. I don't have to Mechayiv myself. Another example is not relevant to Brachas, because it's Be'al Machadero, but another example would be Biyomo Titen Sara. The mitzvah in the Torah to pay, if you have an employee, you're an employer, to pay your employees on time. Bo Bayom, the day that, whenever the due date is for the salary, and the mitzvah says, say the rights to pay them on time. There's a mispara, there's a barbershop right where Rechov Meisharim gets narrow. I think it's Misperet Menashe. Right on the, if you're walking to Kippur Shabbos, it's right before it gets narrow, it's on the left hand side. So in there he has a sign up that tells you how many mitzvahs you can be mekayim in a barbershop. It's like 8, 11, something like that. But it feels like you're reading like the Akdama of the Chafetz Chaim. You know, how many mitzvahs, how many of theirs. So he has a whole list of mitzvahs you can mekayim in a barbershop. Got this. He has svarim there. It's a holy place. So one of the mitzvahs is b'yom ha'tikun schara. He said, if you have in mind, when you just asked the barber to give you a haircut, and he did. And now you're mechuyev min ha'Torah, the payment is due right away. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to pay him to not wait till tomorrow, to not wait till tonight. So if you have kavana, mitzvah shir, so if you have kavana, be mekayim. The mitzvah of Yom Tikkun Sarah. You get in a cab, you're in the Eretz Yisrael, you get in a cab, and you get out of the cab, you have a mitzvah to pay him today. It's due today, you have a mitzvah to pay him today as opposed to tonight. So, Yom Tikkun Sarah, Marsha Mitzvah Daraisa. Exciting. But I don't ever have to hire workers. Again, most of us will hire a barber or a cab driver at some point. But I'm not mechuyev to hire workers, and many of you will probably, may well have many employees working for you full time. So you have many mitzvahs. But I don't have to. I don't have to hire people to work for me. That's the mitzvah of Rishos. If you choose to hire people to work for you, then you have a chiyuv to pay. It's not Rishos. But the Rishos aspect was I didn't have, it's domen Rishos, because I had the Rishos to not be enter into the tenoi hachiyuv, not the mechayiv myself. So that concept, and there could be mitzvahs, and it's not an isser asay. This is not just saying, I'm not allowed to live in a house without a mezuzah. I'm not allowed to not pay him on time. No, this is a mitzvah. The real kiyum mitzvah. A real kiyum mitzvah, I put a mezuzah on mekayim mitzvah. That's why I make a bracha. I pay my work on time, mekayim mitzvah. But there's a space in between regular kiyum mitzvah, regular chiyuvim, and isurim. And that space is this domen l'rishos, mitzvah l'rishos. The things that I'm not mechuyev to go do them, but under certain circumstances, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe the most dramatic example of mitzvah rishos was we mentioned earlier today the chumra song, right? So he says he stole a pearl necklace from his tante Baila, just to mekayim Hashem zakzayla. Right? So he wanted to be machmir, he didn't want to not be mekayim mitzvah Hashem zakeza, so he had to steal so he could return. That's obviously absurd. That is not what a Jew should do. A Jew should seek to never be mekayim the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGezel. But if you did a terrible aveira and stole, now you have a mitzvah Hashavas HaGezel. It's not, I'm not mechuyev to make shiv gezel. If I stole, then I'm mechuyev to make shiv gezel. Right? So when you read these Rambams, you get the impression that it is not merely. It's not merely an Isra Se. You take a look at the language that he has. Hilcha Shechita. Mitzvah Se. Sheyishchot mi sheyirtza lecho basar behem achav yof. Riyachat ach yocha. If you want to eat meat, you have mitzvah shecht, and then eat. No, not mochiv to eat meat. It's not, this is not a chova. We have to all find animals and shecht them. But if I'm interested in eating meat, to shecht before eating is a mitzvah. Is a mitzvah. And then everything falls into place. It's the same language he uses throughout. Sivanu l'shchot pehem v'chayv yov v'achar yachal b'sarim. In Sefer HaMitzvos. It seems like he believes that there is a mitzvah of Shita. It is a Kiyum mitzvah. It's not like, this is not Isra Seh Ben Adulot. It's a real mitzvah. We're not all running to Shech. Yeah, because I'm not mechuyev to go Shech. But there is a mitzvah of Shechting before I eat. But the Mabul Shem Tov says, he says, but let's say a guy eats Nevela. Remember that situation with which Mabul Shem Tov began. Right? Isser A versus Isser B. He says, Nabu Shantav says, if you eat Nevela, you weren't, there is no Isser saving as a Vuach for the Rambam. There's a mitzvah of Shechita. You weren't Mevatel that mitzvah of Shechita. You're Mevatel the mitzvah of Shechita, he thinks, if I have an animal and I choose to
kill it
and eat it instead of shechting it and eat it. But if someone else provides me with meat, the mitzvah is done, or the lack of mitzvah is already done. It's a question of how do I prepare the food. That's already done. Eating the vela, he said, unlike the first day in Tosfos, that eating the vela is a violation of the Isra Seva Zavachta, because the Zavachta is just a Torah way of saying only eat Zavuach as opposed to Ein Zavuach. That's Isra Seva. He said there are really three approaches. There's the second day in Tosfos, the Ri, who says that Pasuk isn't a mitzvah whatsoever. It's just a detail telling you halachas of Shechita, that how to undo the, how to avoid the lav and the vela. You have the first day in Tosfos says it's an Isra Seva. And then you have the Rambam who says it's a kiyum asay. It's a real mitzvah. Not a chiyuv that I have to run after to do. Not a chova. But I'm a kaya mitzvah if I prepare my food in this way. But he says, but violating the mitzvah happens when I kill it a different way and then eat it. But if I just get a piece of nevela, I haven't violated the mitzvah. And that, by the way, that notion that the violation of shechita, of the mitzvah shechita, doesn't come when you eat. It's really how you prepare it and then eat. That explains another curiosity, which is what we were talking about yesterday. Why did Rambam divide Hilchos Shechita? At first it looks like he split Hilchos Shechita off from Machalos Asuros, and then you realize it's not even that. He split Hilchos Shechita into two parts. Hilchos Shechita and a piece of Machalos Asuros. Because again, let's look at the evidence. In Machalos Asuros, Perek Dalid, he says, "Alcha b'kizayis v'desar behemah shemesa, ochayah shemesa, ov shemesa loke, lo sohul kol nevela." That's one of the lavim. The lav of nevela appears in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. It's the mitzvah of shechita that appears in Hilchos Shechita. And what he gets more bizarre, he says, "Anytime it's not just if it died, even if it was killed but without proper shechita, kol shal nishchas akaroi continuing." Perek Dalach Ha'alach in Machalos Asuros, anytime it wasn't, did not get proper Shechita, Harezu Mesa. It's the same as having done its own. And what's a proper Shechita? Oh, Ubehilcha Shechita Yizbara Shechita Shechita Roy Shechita. You want to know what's not available? Looking at the Shechita. He's telling you, looking at the Shechita. So what are we doing here for? So bizarre. And then it goes on to, oh, the Issa Nevela is only on kosher species, not non-kosher species, and so on and so on. And then it goes on to other things. Other issues. This comes after the discussion of Minim Ksherim, and then he goes on to other Machalos Asuros. So 95%, 99% of Hilchos Shechita is in Hilchos Shechita, and 2% of Hilchos Shechita is in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. Why not just put the lav of Nevela in Hilchos Shechita? Or why not put the mitzvah of Shechita in Machalos Asuros? That's what he say.
Given a dead animal already, there is no
Hilchos Shechita
involved in the
Nevela. Right, there'll be a lot of halachos of Shechita, but the mitzvah saseh of Shechita is no longer in play. As we discussed yesterday, he's building all of Torah Shabbat around the categories of mitzvahs. And that's his clearly articulated plan. That's his clearly articulated design. So he says, the lav of Nevela, the second day in Tosfos thought that the Zavachta is just details in the Lav of Nevela. And then the first day in Tosfos thought, no, there's Lav of Nevela, and then there's sort of like a companion, Isra Lav of Nevela, and Isra Asei of Ein Zavuach, which includes Nevela a little bit more, basically the same sort of thing, but a little more expansive, but no Malchus. The Rambam says, they're mamish two different things. Nevela is treif. Hilchos Machalos Asuros is all the different things. We are not kosher. Nevela, chazer, pasur b'chalav, and so a host of Machalos Asuros. To eat a piece of boar's head, to eat Purdue chicken, is an iser nevela. If you go hunting and you bag a deer with your rifle and then you grill it and eat it, that's when you violate the law of Nevela because you ate Nevela. You also mevatel the mitzvah of Shechita because you had a mitzvah. You had an animal you wanted to eat. You had a mitzvah to shecht it. Give out. And you blew it. You had a mitzvah to shecht the animal you wanted to eat and you blew it. Most of us never even have access to that mitzvah because we never handle the animals that we plan to eat until they're no longer live animals. But if you have access to a live animal that you plan to eat, you have a mitzvah, if you want to eat it, of shechting it. You could be a farmer who's not interested in his animals. I'm very happy for Bessie the cow to have arichas yamim and to give milk for many years. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But that was the language that Ram was very, very careful. Im yirtzeh l'achlan. If you're interested when it comes a point that you're interested in eating Bessie the cow, at that point you now have a mitzvah saseh to shechit. But that's not that does not belong in Hilchos Machalos Aseiros. That's a mitzvah of shechita. Memela, once he has a mitzvah of shechita, that's where he puts all the details of how to shecht, which are relevant to two different mitzvahs in the Torah. The details of how to shecht are relevant in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of shechita, if you're a shochet, and the details of shechita are also relevant for every Jew who wants to eat meat, which is not treif. Who wants to eat meat, it's not nevela, you better make sure that it had by someone a proper shechita. I don't get a mitzvah for that. The shochet gets a mitzvah. But I want to avoid the law of nevela. So hilcha shechita, in the colloquial sense, the halachas of what constitutes a proper shechita are relevant for both the mitzvah say of shechita and the law of nevela. But the lav of nevela is a din in machal sasuris. It's things I can't eat. So it goes there. But instead of giving you all the details, he says, you'll find the details in hilcha shechita. Hilcha shechita is separate because it's a mitzvah of shechting. It's not machal sasuris. It's a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah of shechting under these circumstances. Yeah, and I think it... So once you're working with this concept, there are two more things that jump to the Ad Kan, what I've presented to you up until this point, is more or less what the Mabush Yonta presents, and then what Rav Schneier sort of expands in his shiur on Mabush Yonta. This idea that Rambam is really saying a kiyumase. It's neither Shita and Tosus. The Prima Gadim thought that the Rambam is the same as the first day in Tosus. Isser Asay. Because the Prima Gadim was looking at it as a binary issue. Is there an Asay of Zavachta? Or is there no Asay of Zavachta? Rambam says there is. And what the Mabush Yonta says is there aren't two choices, there are three choices. There can be no Asay, or there can be Isser Asay, or there can be real Kiyum Asay. And the Rambam says, the Rambam is neither Shita and Tosis. The first Shita and Tosis is Isser Asay, second Shita and Tosis says nothing. Rambam says, totally different, it's a Kiyum Asay. It's not Machalos Asuris. It's a new type of concept. Now, we only have a few minutes left, so in a moment we're going to stop for questions. I just want to lay out where we're headed tomorrow. The two remaining, two things are still hanging. And maybe tomorrow we'll even flip the schedule a little bit and we'll start with Shir. You'll have a chance to chazer after. So I think a lot of guys are ready, more or less, than the truth. The guys are basically done with, you've done the Maribor Kamos. That's okay. Sometimes last day of Sugi we'll flip the schedule and start with you. Okay, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But two things remain. Let me just lay out what remains hanging, and then we'll have a couple of questions. I do think, and we'll get to that tomorrow, I believe that this debate over the nature of the mitzvah of Shechita, if it even exists, I believe that it may relate also to the Machalokes of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Chulin Tazayin Yud Zayin is really where we started this whole sugya last week. The Basar Taiva. Some of you guys already saw that Gemara. And the Rambam talks, they talk about Basar, what's with the whole Basar Taiva? After coming to Eretz Yisrael, then you're going to shaft, as opposed to before, and when what? I see, maybe, how many people saw that Gemara? How many saw you also? Gevalik. So I believe that it's profoundly intertwined. And the Rambam actually... Paskins has a shita on that machlok, which is interesting because it's not ostensibly halacha lemais anymore. So I think that it could be that it's that Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel may be informing this machlok, at least lefi the Rambam. That's one thing we should explore. And the other thing to explore is for now just a question. This is all very nice lomdus, but it sounds like it's taught on hezba. It needs explaining, by which I mean. Okay, they're okay. I gave you a category. Okay, it's not an Isra Say, it's a Kiyum Asay. It's really a mitzvah. That's very nice. I gave you categories. But if it's an Isra Say, it makes sense. I understand what it means. You're not allowed to eat nevela. And the Torah presents it in two different phrasings. Don't eat nevela. It also says, do eat only shachar. Okay, those are both ways of saying don't eat nevela. So I understand that. But if there's a, for the Rambam, there's a free flowing mitzvah, a Kiyum Asay of Shechita. What does that mean? Why is there the again, a mitzvah for shechting, apart from the tar position, apart from nevela avoidance, It's not like a mitzvah of shechting. What do you mean? What does it mean? Hezbar davar. I understand the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm taking ideas and tying them to my body and reinforcing those ideas. I understand the mitzvah of tzitzis. You remind me, Yitzchak's coming to session. I understand the rule of the mitzvah of shechita. I don't have to shecht it. If you want to eat it, when you shecht it, you get a mitzvah. What is that mitzvah? Well, what's the positive? Other than just that I'm avoiding the veilah. But it's not, the whole point of the Rambam is not saying mitzvah of shechita is not just a veilah avoidance. This is also a mitzvah involving the act of shechita is in and of itself a mitzvah. Some of you may have seen the Rosh in Kesubas actually sounds like he might agree with that too. It's like a mitzvah of shechita. You make a bracha and because there's a mitzvah of shechita. The Rosh there says getting married, he doesn't think it's a mitzvah per se. It can lead to many good things, but the act of getting married is not per se a mitzvah, and the bracha not a birkas mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, it's some a birkas shavodah. So the Rosh says, but in all of you Beis and Kesubas, but shechita is a mitzvah. What mitzvah? What is it? I think there's a lot going on in terms of that as well, and I think these two actually may intertwine. If we can figure out how this mitzvah of shechita is rooted in the halachic prehistory of Rekir and Rishmal, then it may also give us insight going forward on what this mitzvah of shechita is. We still have a minute or two for questions. We've been waiting very patiently, though.
According to the Rambam, would you be, if you were given a nevelah on Yom Kippur,
yeah,
would we have separate?
According to the Rambam, Lafir Reb Shimon, we have not to pass like Reb Shimon, because it's Esther Kalkai, but within Reb Shimon, the whole conversation we've had is within Reb Shimon. Within Reb Shimon, that's interesting. Well, the Rambam says it's hard to figure out what the Rambam would say because we don't pass like Reb Shimon for external reasons that they're unrelated to this debate in Tosis. Well, Reb Shimon says, the Rambam does not think there's an Isser. Right, that's a good point. In terms of that Reb Shimon conversation, Mabushant would say the Rambam agrees with the second day in Tosis. There's no Isser of Eino Zavuach. There's a mitzvah of Shechita. That's not relevant to Isser.
Yeah, but there was a mitzvah of Shechita because you were given a Nevela. Meaning, it's generated.
Right, so then there's a lav of Nevela, but no mitzvah, no Asay of Eino Zavuach, according to the Rambam. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, one more question. For now, I'm glad to hang around for questions after all.
I think children and animals being given shechted, but they just don't eat the animal.
Oh, yeah. So then there's no violation of the mitzvah shechita.
But at the time you shechted, you were like you wanted to eat it, and then afterwards you didn't.
Yeah, that happens. That happens every day in slaughterhouses. If you go to a functioning, which maybe we'll have the chance to do at some point during the year, at least those who are strong stomach. You go to a shlachta, there's a percentage of animals that they can't sell to the kosher market. Every once in a while, the shochet, you check the knife afterwards, you check that. Every once in a while, something went awry and the shechita wasn't done properly. So then you take that, you check afterwards, and you sell that to the non-kosher market, sell it to the non-Jewish market. Yeah, so that's not a violation, not a bitlas. I mean, he missed his chance to do the assay of shechita, didn't do anything wrong. But if you messed up, and then fed it to the kosher market, that would be a bittle of the essay of shechita.
So there's a tanai that you have to
eat. But there's a mitzvah of shechting and then eating.
Let's say you do a proper
shechita. And then never ended up eating it.
Is that?
I don't know, that's a good question. Does that mean that you have to actually eat as part of the mitzvah? Well, that's another interesting question. Is this a composite mitzvah? A two-step mitzvah to shecht and eat? Or is it just no? To shecht in advance of eating. Yes, and we will get there mitzvah tomorrow. Exactly. So mitzvah tomorrow, we'll first try to figure out what light the sugyan tazayin yuzayin shribuhivir shmo, what light does that shed on the mitzvah of shechita, and then we'll see if we can use that also to figure out what is this present day mitzvah of shechita.